So how do we ensure that our team is focused on the right things so that they're making an impact and seeing that reflected in the business success? So as companies increasingly are focused on the bottom line, we just cannot afford to have employees working on things that are not moving the ball forward as it relates to our priorities.
Don't conduct your analysis in isolation because data is so incredibly powerful.
Not defending just the tribe, but defending the organization.
Those creative people that you really want to keep empowered, keep excited, keep motivated, keep thinking.
A good experience pays dividends down the line.
Stereotypes tend to break down in proximity.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast about human resources, business, technology, and the workplace. My name is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm so glad you're here.
Hey there, and welcome to We're Only Human. This is Ben Eubanks, and I'm really glad that you're here with us today for another episode. Today, we're going to do what we normally do after some of our live streams, and we're going to replay one of the great conversations there with one of our attendees, Michelle Polito from Rothy's. She's going to talk to us about how they prioritize connecting with their people, and Michelle was introduced to us by our friends over at Goody. Goody supports a lot of the events that we do, and I want to give them a shout really quickly. If you go to ongoody.com, you can actually sign up, get a free $20 code, and use that to send a gift just to see how easy it is, how fun it is. Send yourself a gift, send a friend a gift, send your spouse a gift, send a new employee a gift, whoever you'd like to. And a lot of companies like Rothy's are using it for their employees or existing staff to send gifts. They're using it for onboarding purposes. The companies that we're talking to are using it for rewarding people for doing good work, just lots of different ways to leverage that. And what I love about it, and what we keep hearing from a lot of these people we're interviewing that are customers of theirs, is they get a chance to send that credit, and you get, as a recipient, to apply it to a thing you care most about. So I don't love coffee, if you know me, but I do love ice cream. So if I had a choice, I'd pick something on the ice cream spectrum, not the coffee spectrum. And within their gift options they have there, one of the things that you'll hear Michelle say today is that they actually curate the gift options so that they're aligned with their company philosophy and strategy on sustainability. So that's ongoody.com. I will make sure and put that into the show notes so you can click right over and check them out. Again, get your free $20 credit to any We're Only Human podcast listeners right there. So with all that out of the way, let's get into the conversation with Michelle. Hey everyone, welcome to the session here today. I'm so excited to have you here with us, and I'm thankful to our friends over at Goody for putting me in touch with Michelle Polito from Rothy's. She's a Senior Vice President of People and Workplace there, which I think is an awesome title. And I'm so excited to talk to Michelle today about serving our people, aligning with the business, really making sure we're doing the right things in creating an employee experience that doesn't just deliver on the needs of what our people want, but what the business needs from the people as well. Kind of a combination there. So Michelle, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So before we get into some of the fun stuff, start talking HR speak for a little bit, take a minute and tell the audience more about who you are and what you do, please.
Absolutely. So as Ben said, I'm Michelle Polito, and I lead the people and workplace teams at Rothy's. Rothy's is a sustainable company. We make sustainably crafted, stylish shoes and bags for men, women, and kids. We've got about 150 employees in our corporate office based in San Francisco, another 150 or so across the U.S. working in our stores that are now popping up in all the major metropolitan areas. And then we also have about 600 employees in our wholly owned factory in China, where we make all of our products. And as the head of people and workplace, I'm responsible for really designing and implementing the talent strategy in support of our business priorities. And then executing that across all the key HR functions, right? Everything from talent acquisition to talent management, employee experience and people operations. And then also the workplace team, which is responsible for all of our physical workspaces as well as events. I've been practicing HR for almost 30 years, which makes me sound really old. I don't feel that old. And I've worked at companies of all sizes, literally from the largest at Walmart to mid-size and startup companies. And what I have found is that my sweet spot and where I really feel like I can make an impact is in small and scaling companies, really helping build that people strategy and foundation to help a company grow. And so I'm thrilled to be at Rothy's, and I've been here for about 5 years.
Oh, that is so wonderful. I love all the combination of everything you share there, from the developing the strategy, which in some cases seems like the hard part, but actually making people do the things is the hard part usually. Behavior change is the hard part of what we do day to day. And the physical workplaces and events piece of your job too. I hope to get to that in a little bit in the conversation, because I'd be curious to know more about that aspect. So when it comes to employee experience, you covered a lot of things in the work you do, and even in the types of workers and the type of work your people do is very varied. So what is your biggest priority when it comes to employee experience and serving the team at Rothy's?
Yeah, so there's a couple things, but first and foremost, it's really making sure that we are connecting and aligning the employee experience with business priorities. So how do we ensure that our team is focused on the right things so that they're making an impact and seeing that reflected in the business success? So as companies increasingly are focused on the bottom line, we just cannot afford to have employees working on things that are not moving the ball forward as it relates to our priorities. So making sure that we're all on the same page as far as our goals and focus areas is really, really critical. And I think part of that is also making sure that employees understand and are aligned with the purpose of our organization, right? And seeing how the work that they do is in support of that purpose and that they understand that connection. It's not always obvious, especially in the world of people, right? Our teams are, you know, busy working away, oftentimes very much behind the scenes. So helping them see how they are working in support of our customers and in support of us driving sustainability and doing things better for our customers, our people, that is something that you can't take for granted. And I think it's important to be really overt about drawing that connection for folks so they can see, again, the impact that they're having on the organization. And then the second piece I think that's really important is making sure that your employee experience really resonates with what chances are a very diverse team, right? We've got, it's no longer the case where you can just say it's a one size fits all approach. There are so many generations in the workforce today. They're, you know, boomers to millennials to Gen Z. We've got them all at Rothy's. And the way work gets done is so different now, right? You've got people that are working in the office. You've got people that are remote. You've got people that are hybrid, right? As you talked about or called out, at Rothy's, I've got people that are working in a corporate office. I've got a lot. Half of my population is working in a store, maybe part-time. So there really isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. You have to think about the, you know, vast needs and differences in your population and be able to be creative and adaptable to come up with an experience that resonates for all of those folks.
One of the things I want to ask you as a follow-up to that, you talked about creating that alignment, really building that connection between what the workforce is doing day to day and helping them see how that either aligns with the bigger goals of the business, the you talk about the mission and impact, obviously, but the mission of the business and the goals there. Is that through like communications? Is that through making sure their managers are equipped to have those conversations? Is that through put it up on the bulletin board in the office and everybody's good to go? Like, obviously, you have people in all these different types of work they're doing, from frontline workers to the office to everything in between, even the your team over doing manufacturing work in China, right? So how do you get them to understand that? Because I hear people say that, and you're like, how do we make that leap from that's a good thing to do to here's how you make it practically work for everybody else?
It's all of the things you just described, Ben.
Okay. Yes. And
I remind my fellow executives, right? If you feel like you are a broken record, chances are you probably could still communicate it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it is at every opportunity, how are you communicating that, right? In every all hands meeting, in every touch base with your team, as you're reviewing your goals and priorities and working through that with each team member, how are you drawing that connection? I think especially important in the people world, right? Again, we sometimes fall into this trap of like, we're just about the people, but we're really about enabling the business to achieve its goals, right? So how do we design programs and processes? How do we hire the right talent and develop people to achieve these goals and in support of the priorities? So you really have to do it at every turn, and you should feel like a broken record, right? I want everybody on my team to be able to cite, here are the three key business priorities that Rothy's has this year, and here's where my work makes the biggest impact, right? So it's making sure that there is that alignment and that connection. And again, doing that in your team meetings, in your all hands meetings, when you're reviewing your goals and objectives, when you're having your touch bases, it has to just be kind of part of the daily conversation, I find.
I appreciate you diving into that a little bit deeper, because one of the things we found in our research recently is that employers who have a highly effective approach to managing performance of their teams are more likely to say, we talk about what we're trying to do as a company and how that person fits in, just like you just shared. So there's a great alignment there. Yeah. And the companies who are more ineffective don't do that nearly as often. So I can't say that causes all that, but I definitely believe, and especially hearing you talk about this, it feels like there's a real connection there.
Absolutely. And I think you just can't take it for granted. And I think especially as a leader, right, you're in different conversations than your team is in. And so you can't assume that they're hearing the same messages unless you are explicitly sharing them. So we actually, as a leadership team, when we have our monthly results, we all say, okay, now we are responsible, each of us, for sharing these results with our teams, right? So it kind of makes sure that we're all on the same page in terms of getting that information and updates out to our teams, and making sure that we all of our teams, whether you're in a back of the house function or you're, you know, front and center interacting with customers, but we're all hearing the same information.
All right. So one of the things I want to ask you about, we've heard some great ideas on like the strategy and the big picture stuff so far. I want to take it kind of tactical for a minute. And one of the stats, same research I mentioned a minute ago, one of the stats that we found in that was really intriguing to me is companies that see ROI from their employee experience investments are those that are doing things more frequently. So reinforcing more frequent touch bases with their people, more frequent one-on-ones, more frequent recognition moments, things like that. And I'd love to hear from you. What value do you think things like recognition bring in terms of outcomes in the workplace?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's no question that most of us feel really good when we understand and are appreciated for the work and the impact that we're having, right? We want to, you know, I think in our employee survey data, we've consistently seen recognition as one of the most important factors for people feeling engaged at the company. That said, I think that not everybody wants to be recognized the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to, one, make sure that you are consistently recognizing and appreciating people. And we know that those who are recognized more often and receive that consistent recognition are more likely to be engaged, which means they're more likely to stay with your organization. They're more likely to be amongst the most productive members of your team as a result of that engagement. But again, recognizing that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, and not everybody wants to be recognized the same way. And so that means that you have got to do the work to understand what's important for your people and remember that. As an example, I've got somebody on my team who would be mortified if I called her out in an all-hands meeting to share kudos, right? She would, like, that would work absolutely against me. And she would say, I can't believe you don't know me, and know that I would be mortified that you did that. But if I called her out in a team meeting or with my leads, or even just sent her a direct note, that is something that will resonate with her, right? That is what's going to make her feel seen and appreciated for the work and the effort that she put forth. So I wouldn't know that if I didn't ask. And again, you can't assume that everybody wants to be appreciated the same way or recognized the same way. And so that's important for any people manager to understand the motivations and the preferences of their teams and make sure that they're incorporating that into, you know, all of their interactions and how they recognize and appreciate folks.
I love the practical lens on that one, because there's probably adjusts over time too, basically, as well, like knowing your people. Because at one point I just want to fly under the radar. No one needs to look at me. Like, let's just do my work and I don't need any extra attention. Okay, I've got enough. And other times, like when I was recruiting or doing more visible, I'm like, hey, sure, call that out, because I know that was a key part of this thing being successful. And so knowing your people and making sure when we're talking to our managers and enabling them, like, you have to know your people. We can't know them for you. Okay. Don't ask me what my wife wants for a birthday gift. I need to know what my wife wants for a birthday gift. Okay. And so the same kind of thing applies there.
That's right. I think it doesn't take a lot, right? It's one of the fun things that we do here as part of our onboarding process is it's just like a get to know you kind of questionnaire, and the employee and the manager fills it out. So as the manager, I understand your motivations, you know, what's important to you, both within the job as well as outside of the job. And then you also, as a manager, get to share with the new employee, like, here's how I operate as a leader, right? Here's sort of you know, what you need to know about me. Sometimes people refer to it as kind of like your user manual. So it's a great way to just kind of uncover some of these things, which, you know, might surprise you and maybe, you know, different than what you assumed as far as what somebody's motivations or preferences are.
Do you mind if I ask you a follow-up on that? That user manual idea. Like, I actually heard someone speak on this in the fall, and they had done this at their organization. And they said, we thought that it would have this outcome and ended up having all of these positive benefits, this range of benefits for people, because they got up to speed more quickly. They felt like they were more connected and plugged into people. There was less turnover in the early days because they were like, I'm part of this community now because they know me and I know them. What does that look like practically? So you said it's kind of just a questionnaire, a couple questions on what makes you tick at work, what kind of work you like to do, what sort of things are in there?
Exactly. I mean, it's like some really straightforward things that you might feel silly asking, or they might be things that you might have asked in the interview process. But guess what? Like, it's a little different once you're actually in the organization.
Now you're in the fence. Now you really mean it.
Now you might answer those questions differently. So it is really just like some very basics, like what makes you tick? What are your stress behaviors, right? How can I support you when you are stressed out? How do you like to be recognized? So again, a very basic, direct question. That is all you need to ask. And when we have new leaders come on board, we take it another level, right? Because to your point, Ben, it's all about how do you accelerate that onboarding learning, right? This is stuff that you might be able to find out within the first 90 days in a typical scenario, but like, why do we want to wait that long? Like, what if we could really kind of put that on speed dial and get through some of that much more quickly? And so we have these questionnaires that are for everybody as they're onboarding within the organization. But then also when we have a new leader coming on board, we do a little bit more of a intense process to uncover some of this stuff, right? To get with the team and understand what is the team looking for in this new leader? And then what do you know about this new leader? What would you like to know, right? All the questions you want to ask that maybe you would take a while for you to get the courage up to ask them, like, let's just surface that in the first weeks and then give the leader an opportunity to kind of digest that information and come back and respond to it to the broader employee population. So it's all about accelerating that learning and not letting it happen organically, but just being more intentional about it.
I like that leader perspective of that too. Like, I'm asking for a friend. No, actually, we all want to know this, right?
Exactly.
One of the things that we used to do is we were bringing a new leader in, after we'd had the technical sort of interview with them and made sure they knew the things they needed to know in order to operate in the business, we had them come back and meet with the team that was working with them and let them get a feel for what they're like, how do they lead? And they would ask those kind of questions like, you know, what is your management style? How do you like to get information? If you're you know, stressed, what would I expect to see from you? Kind of what you're talking about here. And let them get a feel for, is this a person that I feel like I could work alongside and work for that would make me happy day to day? Or, wow, I don't think that's going to work out very well. And so we let them feel that piece of it. Man, I really like that. That's a neat.
You get a very different perspective, right? There's a lot of value, I think, in understanding from the team's perspective, how would this new leader work with us?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I want to ask like 15 more follow-ups from that, but I have to kind of keep us on time. So I have one more kind of big question I want to ask you before we wrap up here. And it's just kind of broad. So we've talked through a couple things that you've seen be effective in your experience, right? You've run teams, you've led HR, you've been in organizations large and small, all these different industries, and you've seen some different things be effective. What advice would you give to all of our friends here listening and all of these HR leaders who are trying to get this stuff done every day, trying to create their own positive employee experience? Anything that you'd give them in terms of practical advice or wisdom or, you know, here tips in the trenches, whatever you want to call it, based on your own experiences that might help them out?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, kind of going back to the priorities, make sure you're connecting with your CEO and executive team to understand what are their biggest pain points, what are their biggest concerns, and how can you and the people team that you support, how can you help them with those things, right? That is where you will get the most support, the most buy-in, right? Is if you are in lockstep with your leadership team and what they're trying to accomplish, right? So again, it goes back to making sure your priorities are their priorities and that their priorities are your priorities. I think that the second piece, again, is just understanding what motivates your team and how do they want to be recognized, right? And then taking that information and putting it to use, maintaining that flexibility, offering, you know, choices and options when you can. It's super, super important. And I think that, you know, being responsive to your employee needs, but also helping them understand kind of the bigger business context is equally as important, right? So you have to do it with your leaders, you have to do it with your team members, and again, making sure that there's just no daylight between what you are working on and what the business priorities are. Mm-hmm. And I think just kind of, you know, speaking to a little bit about the choice and the flexibility, you know, when it comes to recognition, again, we talked about like not everybody wants the same things. One of the things I know we talked about, our friends at Goody that brought us together, one of the reasons why we really love their platform is that it does give employees choice, right? Not everybody wants a company t-shirt or a hat. They want different things. And with the Goody platform, we're actually able to curate a little bit of a shop so that employees can choose, but that also those options and gifts that they're looking at also reflect our brand and some of the, you know, sustainability, which is super important to us. Like it's reflected in those options. So again, we love that platform for that reason, is it really does kind of support that idea of choice while also reflecting the things that are important to us as an organization. And I think lets employees feel like, hey, Rothy's cares about me enough to give me a choice and not just say, hey, here's the company swag, take it or leave it.
Yes. Wonderful. Excellent. Goodness. Okay. I've got some good takeaways, some good ideas from this. I know that everybody else out there listening has as well. So I'll just say thank you again, Michelle, for spending some time with us, for sharing your wisdom with us. I really appreciated your insight and your encouragement here. We can do some of these things probably better than we have. And you give us some good ideas on how to run that track. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was fun chatting with you. I appreciate you having me on.
For sure. To everybody else out there, stay tuned for more good stuff coming right up.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I can't wait to catch you next time. Until then, make sure you are recognizing the employee experience elements that drive your business forward. We'll catch you next time on We're Only Human.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm honored to have you as a listener. If you enjoyed this episode, please take 10 seconds to rate it at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, if you know a friend that could benefit from today's conversation, please pass it their way. After all, a rising tide lifts all ships. To see show notes, sponsor information, and our full show archives, visit onlyhumanshow.com.